So you might have just gathered the kids are going to stay in with us today for our service, and that's why we're keeping our service nice and short tonight. But just want to say a big welcome if you're here visiting with us or with family. You're already in town to celebrate Christmas with family. Just great that you're here with us tonight. And I suppose it is a good night, because my promise to you is that I'm going to bring a shorter message. So that's your first gift for Christmas tonight, as the kids head back to their seats with the with their colouring in. See how they go with that. Well, it's really interesting that Carol actually referred to the Star movie, because that's where I want to start tonight. Jazzy and I and a few of her friends and her mates, we went and saw The Star when it first came out, I think in late November or early December. And The Star was actually advertised as, it was promoted as this animated depiction of the story of the first Christmas. And you can't actually read it up here, but it says, the tagline up there is, it takes many tales to tell the greatest story ever. And as you'd expect, there was a fair bit of artistic license used by Sony Productions. It was a kids' animated movie, so that artistic license, of course, extended to a bunch of animals who could not only talk and communicate with one another, but who would actually become instrumental in helping Mary and Joseph deliver baby Jesus safely into the world, into a world that was dangerous and scary, and at every corner, you know, had this sort of threats on happening. And here were these animals that were available and there to step in and make sure that they saved the Saviour of the world. So as usual, though, in these Hollywood productions, there's usually this sort of story over the top, but then if you look hard enough, there's usually some stories underneath as well. And usually some stories that are aimed at the older people like me that were there with their kids. So if you look under that colour and gloss, sometimes there's actually another message in the movie. And we discover this in The Star as we begin to follow this guy, the donkey. Who, kids, who's seen The Star and can remember the name of the donkey if you yell out? Do you remember? It's not. Starts with B. Bo! Donkey. The donkey's name is Bo. Very good, Trinity. And that's his mate there, Dave the Dove, sitting on top. And Bo becomes the primary character in this movie. And what we actually see is we start off the movie with Bo the donkey actually working for a farmer, and he's a mill donkey. So he's chained to this mill, and his whole life is just going step by step every day, dragging around this either water or a grain mill, going round and round and round, and just literally grinding his way through life and enduring his life one step and one hour and one day at a time. And like most of us, when we feel like we're chained to something like that, chained to the wheel, he was longing to escape and get away from that and just to be able to pursue the dream of his life. And of course, in this movie, some crazy circumstances happen, and Bo actually does escape. He gets out of there, and finally he has the opportunity to head out into the big wide world. So teaming up with his mate Dave the Dove, they set off together with their dream. And their dream was to join the royal caravan, this caravan that would carry the royalty throughout the land. And they wanted to join up with them so they could travel and so they could visit exotic places and basically so they could eat good food and just live the dream. So they join up and start following after this royal caravan. But they actually go looking for it, and they can see the royal caravan just a couple of mountainsides away. And as they can see this dream that they had, they actually turn to one another and they realize that maybe this isn't really what they're after in life after all. They begin to reassess and consider that maybe there's more to life than just enduring the circumstances that they've come from, or escaping to live this fantasy and this dream. And this can be our lives too, can't it? This is what I was challenged about as I was sitting in Hornsby Cinema. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're enduring work, or we're enduring the year that we're in, or the term at school, or we're enduring the challenges that come along in our life. And many of you have probably been through some challenging things this year. Or we dream about just escaping all that, don't we? Escaping work, and maybe some of you have been able to do that for the year already and you've finished up and you're now on holidays. Or we dream about escaping the year so we can begin a new year afresh. Or escaping life for this dream that we have for something better, whatever it is that we imagine that is. But maybe as we look to the Christmas story tonight, enduring or escaping, maybe they're not the only two alternatives. I think where Bo and Dave end up is they get to that hilltop and they can see the royal caravan. And where we probably end up also at this time of the year is this realization that instead of just enduring life, or instead of just thinking about our next escape, maybe there's actually another option for us. Maybe we can discover that in the Christmas story. Maybe we actually just long for this peace on earth that we just read about from Luke chapter 2. Peace that will allow us to enjoy and to embrace life each and every day and take hold of this good news that brings great joy to all the people. And so begins this journey towards Bethlehem for Bo and for Dave, and for, they've got a sheep as well, Ruth the sheep. A journey they undertake, obviously, with Mary and Joseph, because they're going to help save the Saviour of the world. And we're actually going to leave Bo and Dave there and just pause for a moment tonight and explore our own journey towards Bethlehem, our own longing for peace on earth this Christmas. Because whether we realise it or not, we all long for peace in our lives. A peace that will help us just to embrace whatever we confront each and every day. So as we celebrate the coming of this promised Prince of Peace tonight or tomorrow, Emmanuel, God with us, I want to ask us tonight just two questions very briefly. What does this peace really look like? And secondly, how do we take hold of that peace each and every day and experience it in our own lives? So firstly, what does this peace look like? What does peace look like? Luke talks about peace on earth. Well, if you're anything like me, the craziness of this time of the year can be anything but peaceful. So much to get done before this special day of celebration arrives. And as I thought about it, and I thought about the last month, there's sort of been two big obstacles that have stopped me from experiencing peace in my life. Do you want to know what they are? Some of you might have experienced these things as well. The first one is, it's very close to here, Pennant Hills Road traffic. That is less than peaceful, especially last Thursday. And the second one is very close to it as well. Westfield Car Park, when you're trying to get out of there after shopping, or maybe for you it's Castle Hill Towers or wherever you go shopping. Just insane at this time of the year. But seriously, it feels like the world just goes into overdrive, doesn't it, during December, with Christmas parties to attend and with gifts to purchase for those we love and cards to buy and to write on and to send and 1,000 things that all of a sudden we decide we want to get done by the 24th of December. And not surprisingly, this lead up to Christmas becomes a time of the year when relationships become stressed and when words become tense. A.W. Tozer, I think I might have jumped him, actually. Oh, no, we've lost him. There we go. A.W. Tozer says this, Christ came to bring peace and we celebrate his coming by making peace impossible for at least 6 weeks in this time of the year. It's so true, isn't it, that sometimes we approach this celebration of peace on earth with complete chaos going on around us. But as we actually look back and we look to the first Christmas, it's good to remember that things for Mary and Joseph were far from peaceful. Their journey to Bethlehem was crazy and messy and at times, you would say, a bit unhinged. Just consider some of what they were going through at the time. Joseph and Mary had to explain to their in-laws and outlaws how she had conceived outside marriage. And then she came up with this story which actually said that this son inside of her was God's son, Jesus. Imagine trying to explain that to your relatives and your family. It wouldn't have been very peaceful at all. And yet, God's favour rested on Mary in a very powerful way. The journey for Mary and Joseph was also less than peaceful when they discovered that there was no guest room available for them in Bethlehem, and they had to retire to this outside quarters for the birth of Jesus, the promised Saviour of the world. And what's more, once the Prince of Peace actually arrived and they're holding him, Mary and Joseph actually have to flee Bethlehem. They run out of town because of this threat upon newborns at that time. So there was no peace in that either. I mean, this all makes some of my challenges over the last week and the last month look so lame, doesn't it, when you think about what they went through at this time. See, it's good to remember, isn't it, that peace on earth doesn't actually mean that everything is going to be perfect. And God doesn't actually promise that, does he? John Humphreys, he's a fellow minister and a chaplain here in Sydney. He wrote, this is part of a prayer that he wrote called The Hope of Peace. And he says, God of peace, we hope for peace. But forgive us for our misconception that you make peace for us. Rather, you make peace with us. This is the peace that we are looking for. You see, there's this peace, isn't there, that's very dependent on our circumstances. It's very dependent on us experiencing serenity or security or safety or quiet or a clean house or the perfect present or whatever it is, the perfect family dinner. And we would call that peacefulness, wouldn't we? Most of those things. But then there's this peace which Jesus himself said we can know inwardly in our hearts and in our minds with his presence in our lives. In John 16:33, Jesus talks about this. He says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, he says, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see what he's saying? He's saying life is still going to be messy and challenging and at times troublesome. But in the midst of all that, he promises us that we can have peace. You see, the promise of peace here is that God will somehow make everything perfect or easy or safe for us this Christmas. But there's a promise of peace here which comes from having God with us and with you also. As we know peace with God in our hearts and in our minds, and that this is what it means to truly know Emmanuel, God with us, as we experience his peace within. Now, I'm not ignoring the fact that we are called to be peacemakers in this world, to bring peace to our circumstances and to situations that we encounter. But this peace is primarily about us being reconciled and near to God, to knowing God with us this Christmas. So how do we take hold of this peace? How do we experience it for ourselves? Well, I reckon the best place to start is something we actually heard about in the story that Carol shared with us. We look back to the first people that came after Mary and Joseph who came to experience and to know this peace in their lives. And of course, I'm talking about the shepherds. After the angels had visited the shepherds out in the fields, announcing the birth of the Messiah, the Lord, after they'd sort of came back from this crazy thing that had happened with these angels sort of talking to them, the shepherds thought for a moment about what they should do next. And one of them has this great idea, this bright spark amongst them. He says, "I know, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And we read in verse 16 that they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. See, just like us, the shepherds weren't actually satisfied with just reading about a story or hearing a testimony from a distance of this account of a newborn king. The shepherds, once they had heard from the angels, they wanted to go and see for themselves. They wanted to see this child and experience the glory and the favor and the joy that these crazy angels had been speaking about. And so they make this journey to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened. And as they gazed on and as they soaked in the joy of the arrival of this promised king, we read that the peace of God comes over them as they realize that this really was good news for all people. And as we read this, they're so blown away by this arrival that they begin spreading the word that this promised king had indeed arrived. The story of Christmas is an invitation for us to come and to see, to stand, to maybe bow, to stand in amazement and awe at what God did in coming near as Emmanuel, God with us. And not just to look on to a little baby, but also to look on as we read the stories about Jesus to a man who grew and began to minister amongst people and to love people and to show compassion and to call people to follow himself. But also to look on to the Jesus who hung on that cross and sacrificed himself that you and I might know him. And also the Jesus who was resurrected from the grave and came and said, "Follow me and you'll experience eternal life." To look on to that Jesus and to marvel at his power as the creator and the sustainer of all things, but also this personal God who comes near in human flesh, this God who knows us intimately and yet loves us so intensely. C.S. Lewis brings all this together in this lovely quote talking about Christmas. He says, "Look for Christ and you'll find him, and with him you'll find everything else that you long for, that peace that you long for in your life." See, as we consider our own journey to Bethlehem to take hold of and to know this peace in our lives, and as we take this opportunity to stand and to gaze and to look on to Jesus and to worship him, I wonder actually whether it's less about us trying to take hold of peace and more about peace taking hold of us and overwhelming us and comforting at us. So I want to ask you today as I close, have you taken the opportunity just to gaze upon the beauty and the majesty of Jesus this Christmas? Have you invited Emmanuel, God with us, to be God with you? You see, the struggle is for us moving from Jesus being the peace to actually being our peace. And I think that's our invitation in the Christmas story, that Jesus would become our peace in our lives. So this is the invitation to you and I to do this journey to Bethlehem along with the rest of the world and to look upon the Prince of Peace and to realize and understand that rather than just enduring life and rather than just escaping life, that actually we're invited through Jesus to embrace life and to do that by inviting the Prince of Peace into our hearts and into our minds this Christmas. The amazing thing that happens when we do that is that I mentioned earlier is that we're then compelled to take his peace into this world, to be peacemakers, to bring peace to the hearts and the minds and the contexts and the situations and the hurt and the tragedy that's in our world, to put others before us, to reach out to our circle of friends and family. So as we finish, I want to come back to where Carol took us at the end of our kids' spot, back to where we started, thinking about the star. It's a beautiful star, isn't it? It's only about $20 at Bunnings. It's good. The Apostle Paul said something quite profound in Philippians 2 when he was encouraging his followers to be humble and to serve others and to be peacemakers. He said, when we do that, when we hold firmly to him as the word of life, that we will each actually shine like stars in the sky. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of what he can do in our lives. So the star doesn't just sit on the tree or hang in the off the ceiling and then come down in a week's time when we pack up the tree. You and I actually get to take the light of Jesus into God's world each and every day, to shine like stars in the sky. What an awesome thing to take hold of this Christmas. So I'm going to finish by actually inviting the kids to come back out, and Carol's got some little stars that we're actually going to invite you to grab, and you can stick one on yourself, and we want you to take one or two stars back to mum or dad or another adult that looks safe enough to approach in your aisle, and to stick a little star on their hand also. And this is just going to be a reminder as we go, and maybe it'll last into tomorrow, just of the offer of peace that we have through the Christmas story and the opportunity we have to take that into our lives each day. So come on, kids, and Carol, hopefully she's still here somewhere. No? Has she gone home to put the turkey on? Here she comes. She's busy holding kids as usual. We just need some stars, Carol. See, it's messy, isn't it, Christmas? But it's wonderful. Thanks, kids, for coming out. We're going to bring some stars out here, and you can stick one on yourself and take one back to mum and dad. And then once we've got those out, I'll close in prayer, and then we're going to finish with a closing carol.